Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Thank goodness it's warming up a little bit here in the Pine Belt. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Opening segment of our program today and every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, longtime supporters of the Eagle Hour and Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Good show for you today. I'm by myself, but I've got Jay Walker, play-by-play voice of Louisiana. The Louisiana Raging Cajuns are going to be joining us second half of the show. Baseball star Nick Monastir joins the Eagle Hour here in the next segment, but we're going to kick off the opening segment, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue, with our good buddy Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. And Patrick, you were telling me off-air there's still some snow on the ground down there in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's gotten above 50 degrees here, but the snow was so heavy that it's taken its time to just fully melt. And I know, just woke up this morning and pretty much our yard here in New Orleans was pretty much completely covered still. You got anywhere from like 8 to 12 inches of snow in the New Orleans area. I think the official measurement came in at 10 inches, which ties like the 130-year record. Yeah. I mean, it was surreal because it snowed for a good almost, 10 hours straight, and it was a good heavy snow. It just kept coming down.
How shocking was that to your friends down in New Orleans? They're not used to that.
No, I mean, my girlfriend is from Washington, D.C., and even she was just, anybody that's lived down here for a while just knows this doesn't happen here. I mean, it was insane to just see. And getting out and walking, I had never seen that amount of snow. I grew up in Mississippi, but been to Michigan, other places. I had never seen snow like that. Yeah. It's still kind of hard to believe that happened.
My wife and I were in New Orleans the weekend before the snow, and one thing I can confirm for everybody, Patrick, the fried oysters and crab cakes in New Orleans are as good as ever. Man, what a place to eat, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, the food, I could try to eat at a different restaurant every weekend, and I would never be able to just kind of scratch the surface on the number of quality restaurants in New Orleans.
Hey, no question. All right, let's get to football. The Saints, the Cowboys, still without head coaches. At this point, can we narrow the pool of candidates down in New Orleans?
Somewhat. I think the Saints probably right now are the team that has are probably the farthest from getting there, figuring out who the guy is. That's not necessarily a bad thing because there's still a fair amount of candidates out there that they want to talk to. The one that's off the board is Aaron Glenn, who's going to be the next Jets head coach. But Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, he's still playing. He'll be good chance the Bills will be playing in New Orleans next week in the Super Bowl if they can get past the Chiefs. Anthony Weaver, the Dolphins defensive coordinator, somebody's been in the mix. Mike McCarthy, former Cowboys coach. He's a former Saints offensive coordinator. He could come in as a candidate. Kellen Moore, who's already talked to the Saints in a virtual interview. I'm trying to think. Cliff Kingsbury's been kind of tossed around. Mike Kafka, the Giants offensive coordinator, I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their head on that. But the Saints are kind of looking back to his time as a passing game coordinator with the Chiefs from 2018 to 2021. So we'll see. Yeah, it's a healthy list right now. I think guys like Brady, Darren Rizzi is still obviously there, but it's kind of hard to see him getting the job unless things just go completely sideways. But I think Joe Brady right now is probably at the top of a lot of people's lists, with McCarthy probably also getting some buzz himself.
All right, and Brady is the OC of Buffalo, correct?
Right. Yeah, he was with the Saints for a couple of seasons in a kind of a down the chain role as an assistant during the Sean Payton era. Then he went to LSU and as a passing game coordinator whenever Joe Burrow and company just broke all those records and won a national title. Then it's been two seasons as the offense coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. Results were mixed then, but he has no doubt done a great job with the Bills the last couple of seasons, taking over, I think, midway through last season. And his direction has made a big difference for that Buffalo offense.
No question. What do you think, Patrick, and I asked this question earlier this week. With all the success Todd Monken's had as an OC in the league, why does Todd Monken's name not come up anymore, would you suspect? I mean, I know you don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a different resume, you know, and he's also a different personality. I think probably a lot of GMs and owners, once they do their kind of homework on Monken, they might go back to his Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Where I think they put a mic on him at one practice at Oklahoma State.
that was a mistake.
it was just a blue streak of curses. And I think that kind of like Monken's got a little bit of a rap. Maybe he's got a little bit of a temper to him and this and that. But Monken was always pretty easy for me to deal with. You knew he was an intense guy, an entertaining guy. I think he would be a good fit with the right team in the NFL as a head coach. At this point, it doesn't appear like it's going to happen this time around.
I happened to be by Todd Monken when he was here one day when he got a phone call, and he had gotten the news that one of his players had just gotten in trouble with the Hattiesburg police.
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, we took a couple steps back, brother. He was fiery. Let me just say that.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't think Sean Payton was pretty darn fiery. You know, I mean, to me, the best football coaches, you know, they're able to keep an even keel, but you got to be able to get through those guys, and it helps when you have that kind of a clarity within a temper. And I think Monken does have that.
Yeah, no question. I guess the big surprise right now as we go into championship weekend would be Washington. Do you think anybody could have projected that Washington would, number one, be where they are and that the kid out of LSU would have been this sensational?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were making a lot of the right decisions. I thought, you know, drafting Jaden Daniels was the right thing to do, but Dan Quinn was obviously the right guy to be the head coach there in Washington. And I think we talked about Daniels before he ended up, or right around the time he was drafted. I said he could maybe be like a Dak Prescott type, you know, have that kind of production in his career. But I think, you know, he's obviously a better athlete, a more smooth athlete than Prescott is. And I think he's more of a natural thrower. And what we're seeing is the guy is just really smart with the ball and is really just caught on really quickly in the NFL. And he's got a really good career ahead of him as long as he can still stay healthy. He's a guy that's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, without a doubt. So it is a surprise to see the Commanders this deep in the postseason, but, you know, I give them a shot, you know.
Yeah.
I think they can beat the Eagles. You know, the Commanders feel like the hot team right now, and a lot of times it's the hot team that gets through. Now everybody kind of looks at the AFC clearly as the favorite, whether it's the Chiefs or the Bills. I think either one of those teams, I think, you know, arguably are going to be the favorite going into the Super Bowl, but right now the Commanders are hot, and I could see them getting through the Eagles.
Do you see the Bills going down again to Kansas City, or do you like their chances this time around?
No, I mean, I have a hard time picking against the Chiefs. You know, I think the Bills do have a shot. I think they're good enough. Allen's been great at quarterback this season, probably his best season yet in the NFL. So I think the Bills have a shot, but overall I think the Chiefs just have quality across the board. That's going to be tough to beat, and they're just so experienced in these situations and tough to beat. And Mahomes is right up there with the best that's ever played quarterback in the NFL. And this team isn't as good as some of the teams they've had previously. I think, you know, Kelce is finally starting to show a little bit of age, I think, at 35. And you don't really have that dynamic, you know, guy that's just a game breaker as a receiver or running back for the Chiefs. But you got Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to lead his offense down the field, and they've got a quality defense. So in Kansas City, you gotta give the Chiefs the edge.
Are you buying all the criticism that Mahomes is being pampered by the officials, or Do you think that's sour grapes on the part of people whose teams can't seem to beat Kansas City?
It's sour grapes. I mean, everybody just said the same thing about Tom Brady. You know, it's maybe there is a little bit of that. Just whenever when you're the elite, you earn that. You know, there's no doubt that Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, and he just keeps his team winning it every season. So once you get to that level, you do get a little bit better treatment.
Yeah,
he deserves it.
All right, before I let you go, kind of give us what you would estimate a time frame for the Saints to pick a new head man.
Well, if they think Brady is the guy, I think this is going to play out after the Super Bowl, after the AFC title game or the Super Bowl. You know, it just depends on how far the Bills go into the postseason. So it's pretty apparent right now the Saints are taking their time, because I think a lot of the candidates they have on the board are still out there. Aaron Glenn's probably the one disappointing deal. They couldn't get that second in-person interview done with Glenn, which was a mistake, I thought, on the Saints' part. They knew that snowstorm was coming. They should have done everything they could to make sure they get that interview with Glenn. He may have still gone with the Jets. They just missed out on that. So I think we'll probably, you know, if the Bills are done on Sunday, we'll probably, I think, have a new head coach next week.
There we go. All right, Patrick, go play in the snow before it's gone, brother.
Have a good one.
All right, Patrick McGee, everybody. Sports editor of the Times-Picayune and a 10-year contributor to the Eagle Hour. Let's kick off baseball season. Let's talk to Nick Monastero on the other side of the break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, thanks to the Professor Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, for for his weekly insight into New Orleans Saints football. So I think you heard it here. He looks that the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills will be the next head coach at the Saints, we think. That announcement could come soon, depending on how well the Bills manage to do in the championship game. And, of course, Mike McCarthy's name still in the hunt down in New Orleans. All right, this segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart. CampusBookmart.net right there on Hardy Street. Miss Kathleen has the best, no second, even close, the best selection of Southern Miss apparel anywhere on the planet. If you're not in town, you can shop them at CampusBookmart.net. Here's a little secret about Campus Bookmart as well. You can call the store. Tell them what you want. Kathleen will package it up for you and have it mailed to your house. So there's really no hard way to buy clothes or memorabilia or car tags or whatever you want with the Southern Miss logo from Campus Bookmart. All right, media day at Southern Miss Baseball. And you know your program has hit a new level when you can barely move in the press box for all the media. I believe I counted 10 different media outlets that were there this morning to hear the opening remarks of Coach Christian Ostrander, who talked about competition at two positions taking place right now on the team, third base and center field. In fact, he said he had five outfielders. Any of the five could start in any outfield position, one likely to be the DH, starting DH on the team. and a three-way, possible four-way, but more likely a three-way competition right now for the starting nod at third base. A lot of freshman pitchers on the team, but mixed with a good variety of experienced pitchers, and Oz seemed very confident about his pitching staff, indicating, though, that, you know, there's some young guys that we're going to see a lot of early in the year, and he's waiting to see how those guys step up and fill the roles that he is hoping that they can fill. Well, there's one that we know what to expect from him, Nick Monastery. He'll lock down second base, be a big stick on the team. Nick Monastery has been a true superstar for Golden Eagle baseball, this being his third year on the program. Had a chance to sit him down privately and talk to the great Nick Monastery. All right, Nick Monastery on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Nick, good to see you again. Everybody excited about baseball. Your thoughts about this team as you guys get ready to get things underway?
Yeah, I really like our team. I think we got a good squad. We're all gelling really well. Got a lot of bats returning. Really, really confident in our offense this year. And then, obviously, we have a lot of pitchers, a lot of good arms. They always put a good staff together. And so, really excited to see how it all comes together.
Nick, you're one of those players that people from year to year have worried about leaving because of your talent level. But you've expressed to me before that really never has entered your mind. Why is this program so able to hang on to all of its best players when other programs are struggling with that?
Yeah, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, you may not see it. Everybody's transferring everywhere. But, I mean, whenever you're here, it's really a family. I don't ever see there's nothing that could really make me walk away from this place. The coaches, the teammates, the brothers that I have here. I mean, it's a family atmosphere every single day. I mean, we come here, we work hard. Our coaches hold us accountable. They're on to us, making us work hard every day. But, I mean, it's really a family, and that's all it boils down to. Everybody's here for the same goal, and it just all works.
I mentioned to you I met your grandmother at the tournament last year, and one of the questions I asked her was that, and she smiled and she said, "No one has to worry about Nick going anywhere."
Yeah, yeah. She knows. They all know. I mean, that every single time I see them, I mean, they come to every single weekend series. They try to come to all the midweeks. You know, it's awesome having them there all the time on both sides. And, yeah, I mean, that definitely comes up all the time. They ask me about stuff. I mean, they're obviously hearing stuff that people are talking about on the outside. They don't know. I mean, I'm here to stay. I'll never leave this place.
Coach was talking about your ability to play all positions, but he said you've earned second base. That's where you want to play, I gather?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I just – to be honest, anywhere on the field would be good with me, but I've been in the dirt my whole life, really. Played shortstop in high school and then second freshman and last year most of the time. I like it in there. I've really grown there. I feel comfortable there. I feel like I've really taken big steps in my defense there. But, I mean, if fit calls for me to go somewhere else, then, I mean, the Coach Oz knows I'm down to do that 100%.
So how will this team be different from a fan's perspective than the team last year, Nick?
I feel like we brought back a lot this year. You know, last year, it's easy for me to say that we're all close just because we're all together every day. But from the outside, you know, we brought in a lot of new faces. And, you know, it took us a little bit longer to get that chemistry going that we always want to get. And this year, I mean, we brought back almost everybody, and then the new guys we brought in have gelled really well. I think we got a great team chemistry already, and that's huge going into the season, trying to get that as quick as we can. I think you're just going to see a bunch of guys out there having fun with each other, playing hard every single day, and giving it all we got with each other.
All right, 2 years in a row you win the conference tournament. It would be a heck of a statement this year, but I – was speaking to my daughter this morning, and I told her where I was coming, and I was joking, and I said, "Is there any message you'd like for me to give to Nick and Tuna?" And here's what she said: "Start kicking blank, because I want to go to Omaha."
I love that. That's our plan too. I was talking about it earlier, you know, don't want to try to get too caught up in the end goal all the time, you know, just show up here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and just try to go 1-0, whatever game you're playing, whoever you're playing, you know, just go 1-0 and don't get caught up in the rest of the series or the rest of the season. If you go 1-0 every day, we're going to end up in a good spot.
All right, final question. You have a brutal non-conference schedule. Really good teams on the schedule. From a player standpoint, I'm going to guess that excites you.
100%. I mean, that's what we want. We want to go out there and face the best of the best every day. And they put a lot of stock into RPI now, and that's huge for that. But, I mean, it's not really all about that. We want to play the best competition every single day. That makes us better. It makes everybody better. And we want to go out there and beat everybody, no matter who they are or what they got on their jersey. So it definitely excites us.
All right. One more question. As we get ready to start, what's Nick Monastir's message to this rabid fan base?
Get ready. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a rowdy season. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to win a lot. And can't wait to see y'all out there at the Pete. Y'all pack it every day. Keep bringing it. It's awesome. Can't wait to see y'all February 14th.
All right, Nick Monastir with us this morning. We also had a great sit-down with Carson Peitotuna, and we'll bring that interview to you Monday afternoon. You can go to southernmiss.com. It's pretty interesting, actually. There is and I just discovered that there is a countdown clock to the opening of baseball season. And so as I'm relaying this to you, it is 21 days, 2 hours, 31 minutes, 35, 34, 33, 32 seconds. They're counting it down literally to the second. To February 14th at 4 p.m. You heard us talking about that schedule. Well, let's look at it just real quickly to kick things off. February 14th at 4 p.m., Lafayette will be in town. Then there will be a doubleheader at 12 noon and later in the day on Saturday, unusual four-game opening series. And then they'll close out with Lafayette on February the 16th, which is Sunday. The very first Tuesday, and this may not be news to a lot of you, but the very first Tuesday in the season, who comes to town but Mississippi State? That'll be exciting, February 18th. And then that follows up by another tough weekend series. Or I guess, let me be honest, the first tough weekend series, I don't think Lafayette will be too much for the team. But the Louisiana Tech will come in here February 21st through the 23rd. You know they'll be tough. Then the next Tuesday, it's not Mississippi State, it's Ole Miss, and that one is in Oxford, the return trip. So your first week after you get through with Lafayette, you're going to have Mississippi State, Louisiana Tech, and Ole Miss. And if that wasn't enough, the next weekend, the Golden Eagles, February 28th through March the 2nd, will be playing in Fort Worth, Texas, against a perennial power in TCU. So, boy, what a way to start out. Then Mississippi State in Starkville, if that wasn't enough. So, my heavens, let's go over that one more time. Could that really be true? Four games against Lafayette, then Mississippi State at home, three games against Louisiana Tech, then Ole Miss and Oxford, then three games at TCU, followed by a midweek game in Starkville at Mississippi State. So, It's going to be a challenging schedule, but I just get the sense after spending some time around some of the players today, they're up for it, and they're excited about it. So Southern Miss Baseball officially underway today. There'll be scrimmages over the weekend. The public is invited to the scrimmages, and we'll bring you more from Carson Peito on Monday. All right, want to say hello to our good friends at Mo Babe and Yay Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg, the official dessert location, and we're experts at that, of the Eagle Hour. The food is just delicious. They cook the beignets when you order them. And, of course, they got a lot of great coffees and drinks to go along with it. Hey, don't forget about our Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. We're so grateful that so many of you download it every month. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Jay Walker does the play-by-play for Louisiana Lafayette Athletics. He's a good friend of ours. He'll be on next to preview the upcoming showdown with the Raging Cajuns and men's basketball. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, great to hear from Nick Monastir kicking off baseball season. Again, we'll have Carson Peito on the show Tuesday. Also want to thank Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, for joining us. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can get a great meal any day of the week. Catch all the big weekend ball games. They'll be on all day, all night at 4th Street. They're right there in the shadow of the rock. You know where they are, and you know how good the food and the cold drinks and all the camaraderie is. 4th Street Bar and Grill. You know, speaking of friends, through the years, we've had a lot of play-by-play guys on the show, and some remain that. Others come on the show over and over, and we really began to think of them as friends of our program and all of us more than play-by-play guys. Our next guest is in that category. Jay Walker does the play-by-play for the Raging Cajuns and makes I don't know how many times you've been on the show, Jay, but a lot. We always, always enjoy our conversations with you. Welcome back.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on. It's always always good when you can get together and speak.
Yes, actually, absolutely right. We enjoy visiting with you at the tournament every year and having you on the show. I guess what none of us have enjoyed a great deal this year is the outcome of the basketball programs. Golden Eagles at your place tomorrow night for an unusual, really, Saturday night, a 7 p.m. game. That some of the stuff changed because of weather, but kind of tell us what's happened in Louisiana with basketball this year, Jay, and where have the problems been, and what has been the positive?
Well, I'm positive that this has been a very tough season. The Cajuns last year won 19 games and did not have senior day because there were no seniors on that team. Well, one of them is playing at Arkansas State. One of them is playing at McNeese. One of them is playing at Milwaukee, and one of them tore his Achilles the day that the all-conference team came out. Mm. So the Cajuns have been caught by that. They, because of all of that, they got a late start as far as, you know, bringing in transfers is concerned. And this is it's been a tough year. You've got we've had a coaching change back on December 20th. And you know I don't want to demean anything, but talent wise, this is not the Raging Cajun basketball team that we're used to seeing. And as a result, it's been a tough year. They're 6-14. They're 4-4 in the league, but the toughest part of the league schedule is coming up. So you know it is what it is. But losing three to the portal and one to a season-ending injury has really crippled this team.
And losing your coach in December, which I think kind of surprised a lot of people. In your career, had you ever seen a coach let go that early in a new season?
No. This is a first for me. As a matter of fact, in all of the sports that I cover, football, basketball, baseball, this is the first time that there's been a coaching change in the middle of the year. You know, Bob, I've said many, many times over the years that I've been doing this, administrators don't fire coaches. Fans do. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the situation, whether it's fair or not fair, and personally I don't think it is, but the reality is you're playing in a 12,000-seat arena in front of literally hundreds of people. The for whatever reason, the fan base has said, you know what? Not interested in basketball and won't be until you make a change. And so the fans spoke. The administration acted. You know, since 2017, no one has won more Sun Belt games than the Cajuns. But the reality of the situation is the fan base had just turned away. And mm-hmm. You've got to do something to get them back. Men's basketball is supposed to be your second most important sport. Mm-hmm. Right now, according to the fans, it isn't. They made a change. We'll see what happens when they hire a new coach.
Well, we saw the same thing here in football, and you're exactly right. I mean, that puts pressure on, that puts even more pressure on the administration. When nobody's coming to the games and you're not doing well, you have to break that trend, or there's no reason to think that things are going to change, right?
Well, and you know what has changed, I think, is the attitude of fan bases in general. I think now, I mean, if you look around college sports, there are some exceptions. But, you know, the lifespan of a coach in any sport now is about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, gone are the days where you have a coach for 15 years like we did with Bob Marlin. I just think that two things happen. I think that your younger fan base that's up and coming, they're very impatient. They want to win right now. And every time they have a bad year, they want to fire a coach. And even if they're doing well, after 5 or 6 years, they get tired of this coach and they just want a new one just because they want something new. And I'm seeing this happen all over the country. If you look at social media and the statements that fans are making, it's every time you lose a game, it's time to fire somebody. And that's just kind of the world we live in right now. And there are so many ways to take your disposable income and spend it that fans are going to turn away from your team if you're not winning most of the time.
No, I think you're right. And to what degree do you think this is hurting sports too? You're right about the coaches. Also gone is the day, largely speaking, where you can follow a kid from his freshman year through his senior year, watch him develop and become a big star in your program. Do you think that all the transferring is hurting attendance, Jay?
Well, I think I think it's especially bad for mid-majors in the sport of basketball. Because if you have a good team and you have success, guess what? Those kids are leaving.
Right.
Because somebody else is going to throw some more money at them, and they're just going to go. It happens in basketball more than the two major sports. Now, it happens in football, too. Cajuns have been very fortunate that you had a guy like Mike Desermo who was able to bring in talent, have a coaching staff that develops them, and then you love them so much they don't want to leave. Now, we still lost 5 or 6 guys to the portal, but it could have been a lot worse for a team that won 10 games this year.
Right.
But in basketball, you're a free agent at the end of every year. Can you imagine if the NBA adopted something that said, okay, everybody's a free agent every year? The sport would be ruined. So I think what's happening now is, with exception of your blue bloods, the sport is getting ruined because everybody is changing addresses. And you're absolutely right. It's so much harder for a fan base to relate to a program when you've got all new faces every single year.
Well, I don't know if you've looked at the Cajun football schedule, but y'all will be playing the Southern Miss Thundering Eagles this fall. It's virtually a new football team here, Jay.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to be a good football team because we saw how good Marshall was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great that, you know, for Southern Miss, because, look, that program needs to be good, okay? It needs to be. Our league needs for Southern Miss to be good. And so I think it's great that you've had the upgrade.
No, I agree.
But if you look around, okay, if you look around our league, the ones that are having consistent, underline the word, success aren't bringing in 25 new players every single year. So, you know, you've got the influx of talent, which is certainly going to help. But if Southern Miss is going to sustain excellence, it's going to be through recruiting of high school talent, maybe some junior college talent, and bringing in a few transfers here and there. You can't do it if you're going out and signing 30, 35, 40 new players every single season. Texas State is having a certain amount of success doing that, but they were the overwhelming favorite to win the West. That didn't happen.
Right.
And it's really, really hard for coaches when you've got a brand new team every year. So, you know, I think Charles Huff understands that because we look at what he's done while he was at Marshall. But you can't quick fix it every single year. You've got to go ahead and recruit from the bottom up if you're going to have sustained success, in my opinion.
Hey, real quick, we've got about 45 seconds left. I left Media Day this morning, Southern Miss Baseball kicking off. Great program there in Lafayette. How do things look for the Cajun baseball team this spring?
25 freshmen and sophomores on this team, but there's an awful lot of talent on this club. The question's going to be how fast are they going to mature? Now, you got your weekend rotation set. Two of the guys were all-conference guys last year. And you've got five or six of your nine returning also. But you've lost a first-round draft pick in Kyle DeBarge, an excellent second baseman in John Taylor. The middle infield, figuring that out is the biggest key as we head into the season, I think.
Jay, I can't wait for us to lock up on the baseball diamond. It's always extra exciting when the Cajuns and the Eagles play.
I'll tell you what, in that sport, it's a rivalry. I want all of the other sports to be that way, too.
I agree with you completely. Hey, good talking to you, my friend. We'll be chatting again really soon.
Take care, buddy. Look forward to it. Go Cajuns.
All right. Jay Walker, everybody. Voice of the Raging Cajuns and one of the truly nicest guys you'll meet in play-by-play sports. We all here think a great deal of Jay Walker. All right. We'll be back in just a minute. Wrap up this week's edition of the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, really appreciate Jay Walker joining us along with Patrick McGee. And one more time, I'll let you know that we will bring you our visit with Tuna Carson Pato on Monday. Here's something I don't think we gave enough attention to earlier this week, and that's the continued success of the Southern Miss Track and Field program. John Stewart's just done a fabulous job, probably the most underreported story of success in Southern Miss athletics in the past few years has been track and field. Well, they were at the Vanderbilt Invitational earlier this week, and the men and women's team captured a cumulative 8 top 3 finishes. That's just remarkable. With Kelsey Singleton earning first in the men's 200-meter and 400-meter races, the Golden Eagle women earned 2 top 3 finishes over the course of the weekend. Zahalia Frazier earned a second-place finish in the triple jump, and the women's 400-meter relay team earned a third-place finish. So congratulations to those young men and women. They do an outstanding job representing Southern Miss. And, again, John Stewart, probably the most underappreciated coach in my humble opinion, which that and $8 will get you some coffee at Starbucks if you choose to go there. But I think probably the most underappreciated coach in the athletic department is the track and field coach, and we appreciate what he does and his staff, and congratulations to those young men and women for another great performance. All right, lots of screwy scheduling with basketball because of weather. Let's go over it one more time. Southern Men women's basketball is in Harrisonburg, Virginia. We talked to them yesterday. They're getting ready to take on James Madison, who is 7-0 in Sun Belt play, holds a 3-0 advantage over Southern Miss in the series history. This is the first time I believe the Lady Eagles have played in Harrisonburg. They've got a tough game. Let's see, that game is actually today, actually tonight. I'm here looking for the time. And believe it or not, it's not printed here, but let's see. No. So anyway, well, here we go. 6:30 Eastern time tonight. So that'll be 5:30 our time tonight. Southern Miss Lady Eagles against James Madison. Really, really tough draw for them. The men's basketball team altered its schedule as well. You talk about a tough road trip. I had a minute to visit with John Cox this morning, and he was telling me that they're leaving this afternoon and driving to Lafayette. They'll be there later this afternoon. They'll have a game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Then they'll drive back to Hattiesburg. He estimated 1, 2 a.m. when they get back. They'll get back on a bus Sunday and drive to Troy, Alabama, to take on Troy for a 6 o'clock game on Monday night, 7 o'clock Central Time tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Monday night. If you've ever gone to Troy, well, there's really no easy way to get to Troy. So that's going to be a pretty rough road trip for a basketball team that seems to play very well at home but seems to struggle on the road, weather being what it is, though. A Saturday night matchup in Lafayette, Louisiana against the Raging Cajuns, and then a Monday night matchup all the way over in Troy, Alabama. So that is a lot of bus driving. 6 p.m. Monday night game in Troy. And then, of course, you got to get on the bus and drive back after the game Monday night. So that's going to be a pretty grueling weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for the men's basketball team. All right, as we mentioned earlier, it was media day at Southern Miss. I counted, I believe, 10 media outlets in the baseball press room to talk to various players and to Coach Oz. That, of course, a very positive sign that the baseball team has reached the level it has. Interesting, I'll give you just a little tidbit of the interview you'll hear from Carson Pato Monday. But I asked Carson Pato about the fact that D1 Baseball had just put out an article this week predicting Southern Miss to be another lock regional team and indicating they had a very good chance of hosting another super regional here, or maybe hosting a regional, I should say, hosting a regional here and advancing because of the caliber of the program. Yet, Troy is in the top 25 of D1, and Southern Miss is not, and it surprised me a little bit. Coaches will tell you they really don't care. I believe it is true that they don't. Carson Pato said they had discussed that very thing at a team meeting with players earlier in the week. And, yes, they were just a little miffed by it, but they looked at it from the standpoint it's preseason. It doesn't really mean anything. We'll get on the field, and we'll be back in the top 25 real soon after they see just how high a caliber team we're returning to the Diamond. Going to have to be a good one because, as we pointed out earlier in the show, it is quite a demanding stretch to start out the season. Some tough road games and some fierce competition with Mississippi State and Louisiana Tech being here in Hattiesburg. And then TCU on the road, Ole Miss and Mississippi State on the road. That's all in the first month of the season. You know what? We can't wait for it all to get started. Hey, we want to thank you very much for listening to the show every day. Thank our good friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill, DBAT, Campus Bookmart, Dickey's Barbecue, all the great sponsors that make our program possible, but most of all to you who listen to us every day, and we're very grateful to you for that. I hope you have a happy, warm, and safe weekend. Got to get a little warmer here in South Mississippi. We'll be back Monday. Until then, Southern Miss to the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the field. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.